So the point of the Thrive Conference for Families and Business was to help families and business keep the family business.
Well, it's quite a big number of companies that are family,
in America,
right?
5 million family-owned businesses. Family-owned businesses account for 90% of the global GDP, but only 30% last to the second generation. And of that 30%, only 12% will make it to the third generation.
That's kind of heartbreaking when you build up something, isn't it?
It is. And they went through the top seven reasons why a family business fails. One, feuds. Two, lack of succession plan. Three, unexpected death or illness of the founder. Four, no one qualified or interested to take over. Then they started getting interesting.
Well, the first four, I was like, okay, we got this one. We're all right. We don't feud at the Romero House. And, you know, ours, Rosie on the House, is a family business. We've got four of us involved right now. So that's what our main interest in going was, to, you know, just kind of make sure we were doing all right.
Number five, when the business is a fallback to anyone in the family who needs a job.
Been there, done that.
You know what makes me think of that, too, is well, I mean, we've had just about everyone but Katie. I mean, Katie's been on the air with us before, but I don't know that we've ever
She's never had a position.
Position. I don't know about T-Boy. He worked with in the construction side on Legacy, but I don't know about the radio
never
side.
Never on the radio show, though. He would be very good at the plumbing questions, and he's a jack of all trades.
When I started, Rachel was here. Then when Wayne went military full-time, she went with her husband, and they're still active military. Then Julia still does, you know, even now that she's moved to Minnesota, she's still on the payroll.
Does all the emails, remote. Thankfully. Oh, my gosh.
Carol was with us until she went to college this year. So it can be, you know, yeah, come in. But, I mean, when I think about that, none of that was in a negative content, because everyone did their job and did it very well. But I think about some of the other family businesses. I mean, and not that any of them ever failed because of this, but it is funny. You've got the Casey's in Colorado. Everyone worked at the sawmill growing up with Uncle Dan and Aunt Nita making furniture. Everyone went through the cycle, and there's some that are back there now. And then you've got Baby K's Cajun Kitchen. Every grandkid of Baby K's that lived in Phoenix, I think, worked through the company at some point, serving or busing or cleaning.
Well, it's great to give that opportunity, but I guess the part that breaks down is when you don't have the heart to keep them accountable, because you care about them, you don't want to cause family strife and all that, so you put up with stuff you wouldn't put up with from other people. But actually, when you go to work for family, you should actually work harder, right, instead of getting the pass for just being family.
Sure, absolutely. That they always made sure of that on the job sites with us. They always gave us the dirtiest, rottenest jobs.
Jackhammer.
When a business can't keep up, number six, when a business can't keep up with growing financial needs of the family.
So you just find jobs to keep somebody employed, but then you can't really afford that.
You know how I really thought of that is going from first to second generation. Let's say there is now one owner and he has three kids and he's given them all a portion. Well, you know, what he was making a living as the owner is now cut into three, and this family has, you know,
so
this kid
diluted.
Has their three kids, this kid has six kids over here, and this guy may be single, but they've all got a third, and it's, you know, now they're fighting over, you know, the pie's not any bigger, and instead of expanding the business, they sit there and squabble over who gets what, is where my mind took me hearing that.
Sure, there's all kinds of possibilities.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the final one, number seven, when family members lack cross-functional expertise.
So
Very one-dimensional.
Yeah, the way he was explaining it, as I understood it, was, for instance, like you and Rosie, you both know very different dynamics of this business. You came in and at a time when things were changing, and you know all kind of the new stuff and the new the computer side and the website side and all that stuff, and Rosie really doesn't. He knows what he's always known. So it's important to make sure that you, as co-owners or whatever, that you are crossing over that information, so that if one of you is no longer available for whatever reason.
I think there's a big difference there as well. When you start, you generally start on the labor side and not training for the business side and not being prepared to run the you know, understand the accounting department, understand the taxes, understand the business side of operations, the management, the leadership. If you can do your job very well, you can be the best skilled person on the company. But if you're expected to run it and you don't start training and learning these other things, that kind of cross-functional expertise, as they call it, is...
Well, it's made Rosie document what he's done, because everything's always been in his head. He keeps all these numbers and all these details in his head, so we've had to translate that into words and down onto paper. So that's actually a good thing.
It was. They had seven ways to overcome these or help succeed and keep. And it has to do so much with your heart in the business. Are you there just for a paycheck, or are you there because your business is serving a purpose and a higher cause? And all seven of the steps that they gave for that basically revolved around that theme.
Mm-hmm. Just knowing your mission and your purpose and making sure your people do.
One of the speakers there was a gentleman by the name of Dr. Kevin Lehman. You may not know that name, but he's written 54 books, including...
The Birth Order book.
The Birth Order book. That's the one everyone seems
Everybody
to
Everybody goes, oh,
navigate.
Yes, I know that book. Yes.
Well, he was there, and he's going to join us in the next segment talking about his book, The Way of the Shepherd.
Looking forward to our visit.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's RosieOnTheHouse.com.